Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
The Wendy's Big Show. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer's here. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby. Tauschtan Plugger on the other side of the glass. Going to have a conversation about Andy Reid possibly needing this one to get to Canton. Feels like it might be a slam dunk. Is it a slam dunk? Our guy Leroy Butler finds himself in Canton after conversation that our next guest has with a host of other individuals inside a war room that is far away from any press, any media that we can find. It is Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and Hall of Fame voter and advocate for our guy Leroy Butler tomorrow as he gets ready to do the pitching. Pete, appreciate the time today, and thank you for what you're about to do tomorrow for our guy Leroy Butler.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little nervous about this. A lot of responsibility here. A lot at stake, obviously, is really important for Leroy and for everybody, and so I've got to present the best case I can.
It's not a big deal. You're just not allowed back in the state if you screw this up. It's not
right,
deal.
I know.
It's not a big deal at all. So how long, we've talked about this in the past, but just for those just tuning in now, how long do you get to pitch and make your case for Leroy while the other 14 people get to make their case for their guys?
I thought it was 6 minutes. That's what I remembered from the previous meetings, and I double-checked it and found out it was five.
Oh.
So when I first, on Wednesday, I first wrote out, just the entire presentation thing. And now this will be, that was when I still thought it was six. This will be right about 6 minutes, maybe a little long, and it was like 11 minutes. So I had to do some major chopping. It's funny, you sit in there in the meeting, and when they do these presentations, it feels like they last forever. But 5 minutes when you're given one is just nothing. So it's got to be tight and to the point.
Pete, how much fun, though, is this for you? As a journalist your whole life and covering this team for as long as you have and getting to know these guys on a regular basis, on a professional basis, but also a personal one as well, how much fun do you and joy do you get into this that there is so much pressure on just the conversation, the five-minute presentation that you have tomorrow?
It's really cool, and it's, a real privilege to be a part of it. I don't think I would use the word fun because there's a little too much at stake for it to be fun, but it's really interesting. And look, I started covering the team in 93, and that's when Leroy was becoming a star. And he was one of the first players that I got to know, reasonably well, fairly well. And I really liked him, right off the bat, and I always had a great relationship with him. And I think this is really cool that he's got a really good shot at making the Hall of Fame. It, may or may not be this year. There's some hurdles to clear, but I think he's going to make it sometime in the next two or three years would be my guess. And maybe this year. It's hard to, these things are really hard to predict.
Is the biggest threat Lynch and Atwater, or is it other guys at other positions?
Yeah, it's all the safeties. You get the sense, I don't think it's 100% given, but you get the sense that Polamalu
for sure
has a really good shot first ballot. He's got the thing that separates him is he's got a Defensive Player of the Year award. That's mm-hmm. a pretty big deal. The other stuff, he doesn't really do that, score that much better, but the Defensive Player of the Year award is a big thing. I think leapfrogging Lynch is very plausible. I think Leroy can do it. I would think if you asked most people from the league at that time, they'd say he was a better player than Lynch. Atwater's going to be tougher. He's been a finalist three times, and he, like Leroy, he's got the 1990s first team all-decade thing, which is what separates those two guys. It gives them a great chance, and he's been a finalist three times. So sometimes this thing kind of from what I've seen in 5 years doing this, it kind of queues up, and so it kind of becomes, because you can't get in all the Hall of Famers in one class. There's among the 15 finalists, there's usually more than five Hall of Famers in there. So, you know, you kind of queue up a little bit, and so they might see this as, you know, first Atwater has to get in, and then Leroy gets in. But you never know. They're not familiar with the details of his case, and maybe something in the presentation will really resonate with them, and then maybe somebody else in the room will have talked to somebody in the league who said, yeah, this guy deserves, and he could go now, and it'll take on some momentum, and so maybe he does get in. But I'm guessing he'll have to leapfrog Atwater. I don't think they'd put in more than two safeties in one season, and even getting two in okay. 1 year, and even getting two in, it'd be tough.
I want to continue on with this, explaining to the audience how this works. So we start at 15. You all pitch. Then it gets cut down to what, 10, right?
To 10. We all vote. It's a secret ballot. We vote for 10. They give it to the accounting firm. They come back, you know, 15 minutes later. Here's the 10 who got the most votes. They open the floor again, but they say, open to, you know, we'll talk about these guys, but only talk if you're going to bring up something new. So that just takes a few minutes. Then we vote for five, and then the same thing, and then those five get an up or down vote. You need 80% to get in.
But they all can make it, right? Once you're at five, they can all make it.
Yeah, and three have to get in. So even if nobody gets 80%, the highest three votes would get in. You know, the thing is, if you make the final five, you're almost for sure going to get in. I think I looked the last time. Someone who made the final five but didn't get in was 2007.
Wow. So then as you guys are in that room, and immediately once somebody gets the 80%, Dave Baker then goes and starts knocking on doors?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know how long it takes. He's got to get to the hotel where those guys are at because he's there in the meeting the whole time. So from what I found out from Leroy, if you're in, they knock on your door, and if you're not, they call you. So
that's not nice.
Not good, phone call bad.
Okay, so I'm just trying to figure this out in our brain. So as Packer fans, then, when exactly do you think we're going to find out? Like 1, 2 in the afternoon Central Time, or before that maybe?
No, it'll be later than that because, I think they're hoping the meeting ends at about 3 o'clock Eastern Time, so that would be about 2.
Mm-hmm.
I would think, because the word leaks out,
right.
You know, once the players are informed, you know, they leak it out sometimes. So maybe by, 2:30, 3 o'clock Central Time.
Perfect.
Sometime around there or a little later than that is probably when the news would leak out.
Sweet. All right. Sounds good. I just want to get
an
idea.
Maybe a little longer than that because it does take a while to inform.
Right,
but they
can't try and hold this to the honor show or nothing stupid like that. There's too many people in each one of those rooms to be texting people.
Well, they try to, but they ask us not to report anything, so everybody on the committee, nobody reports anything, like who made the final five or any of that. But I think the word on all five probably leaks out before the honor show starts, I would think.
I'm pretty sure.
So that is the goal, though, by the NFL, is that they want to debut all these Hall of Famers, realistically knowing that if they got to fit a 40 long for Leroy, that they're going to have it leaked out somewhere.
Yeah,
makes sense.
I'm sure they know there's a really good chance, but they want to own it if they can.
Especially with Twitter now. I mean, you're going to have Ian Rappaport, all these guys. Somebody, this will be leaked within probably 5 minutes of everybody finding out who's getting in.
Yeah, I think it's more than just the national guys on this stuff. I think it's, a lot of times these guys, these players, they all have friends in the media or, their brother or their dad will tweet a reporter they've been talking to a lot in the hometown of wherever they're from or from the city they played in. And there's a lot of avenues that it can leak out. And, once it hits Twitter, it just gets retweeted and everybody's got it.
So, Pete, I don't want you to have to go through the whole 5 minutes as much as I always loved being the test run on people's speeches in college. What is your main 1, 2, 3 sticking point as you present tomorrow, reasons why Leroy should be inducted in?
So, to keep it simple, it's two main points. One, first team all-decade 90s, he and Atwater are the only first-teamers from that team not in. And two, that he was a thing that separates him from the other safeties that are up this year and for most safeties is he was a really complete player in his versatility. So he's in that 35-20 club, 35 picks at least and 20 interceptions at least. Only four guys in it, Charles Woodson and Rondé Barber. Woodson's going to be a slam dunk first ballot next year, but Barber made the final 25 this year. They're cornerbacks. They played nickel slot. And Brian Dawkins and Leroy are the only others, and they're the true safeties. And Dawkins got put in 2017, so I'm arguing that basically Leroy's case is as good as Dawkins. So that's the two main things. And then the using the Denver game as evidence of, you know, a Hall of Famer is someone you game plan against. And also it's evidence of his versatility, because the Broncos game plan in that game, Super Bowl 32, was to get Lee. They were afraid of him wrecking their run game, so they wanted to get him out of the box. And so they knew he was their best cover guy at safety, so they had him. Shannon Sharpe was, you know, in the middle of a Hall of Fame career. He was their leading receiver that year, and they used him as a decoy because they knew Leroy would be covering Sharpe, and that got him out of the box. And I got a quote from one of the coaches on that staff saying that was the entire game plan, was to get Leroy out of the run game.
That's awesome stuff. Pete Doherty here with us, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, on the Wendy's Big Show for just a couple of more minutes. Hall of Fame voter here. He's going to be making the case tomorrow morning down in Miami that Leroy Butler should indeed be inducted into the Hall of Fame here. Now 14 years onto the ballot. Pete, did you like what the NFL did with the Centennial class here, opening up to 15 new guys? It's gotten some heat in the media, some Hall of Famers themselves saying maybe it's getting a little less exclusive than it should be. What's your viewpoint on that?
I liked the idea of it, and I thought they were going to use it to put in a bunch of guys from the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s who got kind of lost in the shuffle, especially from the 20s and 30s, and they really didn't do that. I was really disappointed they put in Tagliabue, because he was a finalist a few years ago, one of my first years on the – might have been my first year. And we had a long, robust discussion and did not vote him in. And so I kind of felt like they just used this to circumvent that and get him in. So I would have liked to see more of the old-timers. And Cowher was a little bit of a surprise. I thought there were some other coaches who could have they could have put in instead of him. But, you know, the idea of it, I think, was fine because there was such a backlog of old-time players and, you know, some coaches and contributors too.
Yeah, Tom Flores would have felt like a slam dunk as well, I mean, there with the Coward. But it helps to be on national television, doesn't it? I mean, I guess that does
it
help.
It does. I think Holmgren's case is as good as Coward's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. Two different organizations going to Super Bowls as well. I mean, that's a heck of an accomplishment to do so. Pete, we really appreciate the time, man. I hope you can get some sleep, as I know it can be a little bit nerve-wracking going in there, man. But best of luck, and we really appreciate it. And thanks again for the time.
Yeah, thanks. There might be a little tossing and turning tonight, but I'll just remember, I mean, this is really important, so we'll give it our best shot for Leroy.
Appreciate it, Pete. Thanks, man. Enjoy Miami. That's Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette, Hall of Fame voter, and on PackersNews.com joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Is your passion outgrowing your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
You just wonder, if he doesn't make it this year, do you pitch differently next year if he gets back to the final 15? Like, Lynch has been in this 15 before, and I don't think he's ever gotten out of 15. I don't know if Lynch has ever even gotten to 10.
Right, like, you can't use the same PowerPoint if you get shut down this year.
I don't think so. I think you've got to come with something different, on a different angle maybe, to try and get you in. If you're just pitching the same thing every year with no new information or no new angles, why would their vote change?
But I like what Pete was referring to with the guys that came after Leroy being a part of that 35-20 club, because as we've talked about, he was the first one to do that. So when you open up three guys behind you that then become the newest members of an exclusive club that you started.
Two of which are corners. There's two only of which one are corners, safety, right. And Dawkins, who's in?
And Dawkins was basically a slam dunk first ballot Hall of Famer for Brian Dawkins. I mean, like, you're looking at some exclusive guys that were able to do, and really GMs and front offices were able to look at and say, that position can fit what we want to do because we saw 36 do it in Green Bay. That's the most difficult part about it.
You have guys that played the position that are Hall of Famers like Ronnie Lott that have, you know, told people he ought to be in. Like, I don't understand why he's not in already. He should have been in already. And you hear it from that type of great player, that holds a lot of weight. And the other thing, you know, you have James Lofton who's voted in this thing. That helps. Having a former Packer in there voting, you would think he's going to get Lofton's vote. You know he's going to get Doherty's vote. And then after that, see what happens. Like we've said before, over the course of time, we've had numerous writers on here. Peter King, all these different guys. And we ask all of them that have Hall of Fame votes, what's the deal? I don't really know what the deal is. They don't really put safeties in. You know, it's a forgotten position. It's nothing specific against Leroy, but I agree Leroy belongs. Okay, well, now here we are.
Then get him in.
Well, here we are. So, let's see.
And there's a dang punter in the Hall of Fame. You want to talk about a forgotten position. Instead, we're going to wait on safeties.
Great guy. Yeah.
Insane. So, hopefully, we're celebrating tomorrow with Leroy Butler getting inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That is good news, but I'm also stunned that the NFL doesn't just Fort Knox this whole thing and allows somehow it to get out. Even in the age of social media, maybe I'm just proud of my millennial group that we're able to get that information.
I guess what you could do, I'm the idea man, I'll take over from here.
All right.
Is you do this vote later. You don't do it at 7 a.m. when this whole thing starts.
Could work.
Right? So don't start it at 7 a.m. Start it at noon, right? Or 11 o'clock. And then everybody's phones get taken from them when they walk in. All phones are taken away. So there are no phones in the room.
Sounds like detention.
There are no computers. There's no way to talk to the outside world. That's what they do for the NBA draft lottery. All those people that are in there witnessing that, they have no electronics. It's all taken at the door. You have no way to talk to the outside world until after the show airs. So you're stuck in there for hours, and they bring you food and all that stuff, but you're not allowed to talk to anybody other than the people in the room. So you've got these 50, 60 writers and former players. You're all stuck in there. And we will announce on the show, you bring everybody, all 15 finalists, to the honor show. You put them in the crowd. They don't know if they're getting in or not. And you announce it there on the TV show live, who's getting in and what the reactions begin. Kind of like an award show where you don't know if you're winning a Grammy or not.
Yeah, you don't know if you're winning the Oscar.
And then you come up and give your acceptance speech and then get ready for your real speech.
I would agree. I think that's the best way to do it. I literally just have like hair standing up my back when you said don't have your phone for like 11 hours. Are you serious?
Well, not 11
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, it would be like 10 or 11 hours, dude.
Well, what time does the honor show start at? Like 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock?
That's, that'd be like 9 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No
9,
chance.
10 hours.
Can't do that. No chance.
Give me your phone. I'll bring it back on Monday.
No. Are you serious?
I'll bring it back on Monday.
I wouldn't even do this like
I'll bring it back on Monday.
No. I wouldn't even do that if I walked in here at like 10 a.m. and I got it back at 2. No chance.
I'll take it at 6 o'clock then. You can have it for the rest of the show. And then I'll bring it back on Monday. Watch the Super Bowl. Nobody will be bothering you on your phone. None of that stuff. You'll just be, nobody will be able to bother you. Nobody will be able to get a hold of you because you won't have your phone.
That's true. It would eliminate a lot of unneeded stress in my life.
Go do whatever you need to go. And then when they go, dude, where have you been all week? And I thought something, and you live with your parents, so they'll know you're okay. So you just say, hey, man, Sparky took my phone. I couldn't get back till today, so sorry.
It would keep me from looking up Brewers news that doesn't happen and good signings that don't happen. I mean, that would.
Brewers news.
I'm looking at the scroll and looking at all the key moves. And I'm seeing Luis Urias, who broke his hand a couple of weeks ago, and good. Now he's going to be out possibly into opening day. Still frustrated. I'm wearing a Packers shirt. I'm still frustrated. They're not playing in the Super Bowl.
You could be Tim having to do those postgame shows all year.
That's true. I could. Yeah, but then if I was Tim, I would be in Vegas. So that would make this a lot more sense.
But
yeah.
Trust me, the pain of 6 months of having to cover this Brewers team is going to be far worse than the joy that he'll get for 3 or 4 days.
Andy Reid's had some pain in his career as a head coach in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
But can he get to Canton if he hoists the Lombardi this weekend? Get into that next Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.